This is the City Place Church Podcast. Here at City Place, we build dreams, ignite faith, and establish leaders that win the lost for God's kingdom. From wherever you're listening, we hope that you are empowered by the message.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Sunday morning service. I am so excited that you are here this morning. I'm excited that you showed all the way up. I'm asking you this morning, before we even get started and jumping into our day, will you just get ready to spiritually roll up your sleeves and lean into all that God has for you this morning? I know that He is poised and ready to speak to us, and I am super pumped. So today, it's time to go in. Level 10, you know what to do, City Place Church. If you haven't downloaded the notes, make sure you go right online right now before we get started, because I'm going to be giving you lots and lots of notes, and there's a guide that we've already developed there for you at cityplacechurch.com/notes. Are you ready to get in the Word? Say yes if you are. Yes, yes, yes. Well, this morning, you know, I was thinking as we got started, I used to love, as a little girl, truth be told, the show called First 48. Anybody know that show? It's a crime show that totally acknowledges the first 48 hours after a serious crime. And the detectives go on the scene, real life, they go on the scene, they start to investigate all of the witnesses and the crime scene, knowing that the first 48 hours are the most important hours to actually solve a crime. You know, I got to thinking about that because as I was investigating and reading the Word this week, preparing this message for what God would have to say to us, I thought not about the first 48, but what would the last 48 look like? So then I whipped out my calendar and I said, all right, well, let's just actually check and see. Do you know this week, as we're talking right now, there will be 48 days between now and the end of 2020. And we've all been talking about this crazy year, this crazy experience that we've all been living in. And so today I bring to you this thought and this message, not the first 48, but the final 48. Somebody say final 48. I believe that God has such an important message, something that He wants to speak to us. And I believe that, as Pastor Damon has already preached, that our end is not over. We've already been hearing about over the last couple of weeks and letting it stir in our spirit that what God wants to do in 2020 isn't over. What He has to say is not over. And here we stand, roughly 48 days between now and the end of the year. And why don't we just choose to lean into what God wants to say? You know, I investigated this week in Scripture a passage where there is an individual who is preparing to see his final days. And in those final days, in the final moments, he leaves us one final letter. In essence, it's like his final 48. How many of you know that when somebody is preparing and knowing that their final days are coming, it behooves us to lean into what they have to say? I believe that people reserve some of their most impactful messages and notes when they know that the end is near. And that person that we're going to be studying today is Paul. And so today we're going to be studying through and journeying through 2 Timothy, Paul's final letter, his final words. There will be no other words that Paul speaks to us and leaves to us. And I believe that God has lessons for us as we also stand in our final 48. You know, what makes a new season is the question of today. What makes a new season? Well, the answer to that is very simple. What makes a new season is doing something different with your old season. And I don't know about you, but I have thought many times that 2021 can't come here fast enough. That if we could just get into next year, we could catch our breath. That we could take one collective community breath and say, we have survived this crazy year. You know, this year has been like no other. We have witnessed a society that has maybe been unrecognizable, a disease and pandemic that feels like it's something out of science fiction. But I want to say this, there is no magic that will happen on December 31st. There is nothing magnificent, in fact, that will happen when the clock strikes midnight. In fact, if we're not careful, December 31st and January 1st, 2021 will actually look identical. And the principle is the same. What will make a new year different? What will make our next season different? And that is doing something different with the season that we're in essence, closing it up. And Paul gives us this example when he's speaking to Timothy and he says, I'm preparing for my next season. I'm preparing for the Paul that you will know only in eternity. I'm preparing for a season where I see Jesus. And before I go there, I have some things to button up. Are you ready this morning? I'm ready. Open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy. Now, I need to set some context for you because there's a lot happening of why Paul is in prison. If you know the story of Paul, if you're new to him, let me give you the Cliff Notes version, okay? Paul is in prison and he knows what it's like to be persecuted. Paul has met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was a persecutor of Christians, but then became radically saved and found himself in a lot of precarious situations. Paul finds himself in prison. Paul finds himself being beaten. Paul finds himself on the run. Paul is no stranger to danger, and he is here in prison. Now, Paul's been in prison and he's been freed before, but something has happened. And we must know what this is so we really understand what Paul is sitting in. You see, back in this day, the ruler was Nero. And there was a 5-day fire that happened in the city of Rome. And the rumors had it that the ruler himself, Nero, actually sent out his own men to set fire to the city. Now, this fire was so bad, it burned like 20% of Rome. People perished, of course, and the rumors were that not only did Nero set the fire, but he set the fire so that he could rebuild Rome to his personal liking. This is the kind of ruler that was in the middle of this situation. Nero also was known for blaming Christians as the instigators of this fire. He told the people and you know, got into their minds and says, no, it's the Christians that were in the middle of this. He burned Christians at the stake to light up his garden. This was the ruler that Paul was sitting in prison, knowing that his very life depended upon this man. So Paul was right to think that perhaps he couldn't escape death this time. Nero wasn't the ruler before. Paul had rights. He was a citizen. God's hand was on him and his work wasn't done. But Paul knew in his spirit this time before he writes this letter in 2 Timothy that this time was different. You know, Nero is a great example of a ruler who tried to strip the Christians in this scene, as you can imagine, of their hope. And before we even get started today, I'm just speaking to some of you that the enemy would be having a heyday with your hope. As we leave 2020 and as we go into 2021, my question for you, because I'm coming in hot, is, are you a person right now, today, this morning, who feels a sense of hopelessness? The enemy loves and thrives when we are people who feel hopeless, because if he can strip us of our hope, if he can strip of us of what it's like to have our hope and our grounding and our rooting in Christ, then he knows he can go for our jugular. Can you imagine what the scene was like when Paul was in this place where Nero, the fearless, cruel ruler, was at hand, and Paul knew that his life was about to come to an end? No matter what the enemy has surrounding you, I speak to you this morning that there is no devil in hell that can strip your hope. We serve a God that is full of hope. Paul begins his letter with these precious words, and if you have your notes, it's right there at the top of your notes. And this is so important because it frames our whole conversation today. He says, you know what? I have found myself in chains. I've been a prisoner of the gospel. But he starts off the message, and it's in verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2, and it says, to Timothy, my dear son. Those two words change everything. My dear son, I'm going to take my last words, my last breath, my last moments, and I'm not going to think and ponder all of the good things that Jesus has done for me. Hello, can I get an amen? I'm not going to take that time to think through all of the goodness of God. I'm not even going to waste my breath on Nero, but I am going to speak to my dear son. I'm going to spend my words, my last breath, my last everything to an eternal purpose so that the message of Jesus outlasts me. Now, this is some kind of business that Paul would actually give us the example of saying, it's not about me any longer. The word of God actually flowing through me has always flowed through Paul. And Timothy is not actually his biological son, but his spiritual son. And he says, to my dear son. Why does he do that? And what does it mean? I believe that Paul's example is so rich for us. He has four lessons to his dear son, Timothy, that apply to you and to me this morning. Why does Paul do this? Why does this example exude the love of Jesus? Well, number one, some things that we have, you and me, must outlast us. Let me say it to you like this. There are some battles that we will need to fight so that the next generation doesn't have to. There are some things that you are assigned to. There are some things in your family line that it's up to you to put the stop to so that the next generation doesn't have to. Paul begins to speak to Timothy and he says, God has not given you the spirit of fear. God has not given you, Timothy, a spirit of timidity, not of anything that would stand against you, but a spirit of sound mind. I'm speaking life into you now. There are things in your life and in mine that are assigned to you so that you can put a stop to the enemy's devices. Timothy was like a son, and it was like Timothy in these words needed a final affirmation from his daddy. Can you just see the scene that Timothy is there working with Paul? He is serving with Paul. He is there as Paul is persecuted. He is there as Paul is teaching and preaching and making disciples and baptizing and speaking and healing. But Timothy is not yet ready or thinking maybe this is for him and not yet for me. And Paul says, no. In my final days, I want you to know, Timothy, you're on. It's your turn. And you may feel like it's not time, that you're not ready, but it's like Paul kicks him out and says, it's time for you to fly out of the nest. You are ready. And this morning, God is saying to us, you are ready. I have equipped you and I have given you everything you need. But I want you to recognize that the script is flipped and your season is changing. Will you embrace it? The first lesson that we see in the scripture in all of 2 Timothy is Paul giving Timothy this admonishing, this like encouragement that says, Timothy, I want you, if you are going to be successful, if you're going to take the baton, if you're going to carry this mantle, if you're going to speak the name of Jesus after I'm long gone, the first thing you must do, and us too this morning, are you ready to write it down? Timothy, watching this morning, you must remember who you are. Now, I know if Pastor Damon was here this morning, he would start breaking out in Lion King songs, but he's not here this morning, so we can just say it like this, remember. Remember who you are. I love this scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. It says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. I love this because back in this day, women didn't necessarily have the genealogy line, but Paul says, you know what? Your dad was a pagan, so let me go back through the line that actually stems back and loves the Lord. I love that he reaches to some powerful women. He goes, not only to your mama, but your grandmama too, right? He says, I know this faith started. I know that you come from a line of people that are rooted in Christ, that love the Lord, that understand the precepts. Remember who you are. This is the lineage that we have as well. The Bible says that we are heirs of the throne, that we are sons and daughters, that he knows us by name. This is the very thing, this very principle of remembering who we are in Christ gives us the ability to throw our shoulders back and say, that's right, I'm leaving this season, but I will not forget who God has called me to be. We must remember who we are. I love that 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. I love that because we know who we are and God knows who we are too. the second lesson that we see from Paul. It's like Paul speaking his words through Timothy, and he says, Timothy, first of all, you have to remember who you are. Don't get it twisted. You come from a line that understand and is rooted. But the second lesson that we see is Paul's words that would say something like this. Now, Timothy, you're going to go through some stuff. You've walked with me as I have been beaten. You have walked with me as I have pleaded for my life. But I am telling you, it will require that you must rise above your circumstances. Now, I don't know about you, but looking around, as we said earlier in 2020, it's like sometimes the world that we're in seems unrecognizable. Sometimes the people who we've known to love and that we've grown up with share very different views than we do. Sometimes it's like we're fighting for our basic rights or sanity or how to be seen, but we must rise above what we see. Why? Bad situations will never be able to captivate the word of God within you. And therefore, it's not our job to look and respond and react to what's happening in the environment, but rather to rise above that to exemplify Christ. This is the calling that we have in Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:24-26 says, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach and not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Let me tell you, church, this morning, it is our job to not look and respond and say, it's okay that I'm upset. It's okay that I'm reacting because I'm defending myself, because I'm speaking out. It's okay because this is what the environment is. This has never been the example of what God has called us to, whether we're in a political season or a tension-filled season, or we're anxious, or we're happy, or we're sad. We are not called to respond to our environment, but to rise above it. You know why? Because you're better than that. And the God in you has a standard that's better than that. He causes us and calls us to rise above our circumstance. So the first lesson is that we must remember who we are. The second one is that we rise above our circumstances. What's the third lesson that Paul gives us through the book of 2 Timothy as we journey along his final impactful 48 hours? Lesson number three is this. It's in your notes. Put your weapon to work. Put your weapon to work. Let me have a real talk for you this morning. Let's have some real talk this Sunday morning. Sometimes you and I slip into this atmosphere where we are living off of life support, or we're living on fumes, so to speak. We are Christians with Jesus on the shelf. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? And this is not that. God is calling us to be men and women that would say, I don't just need pastor scripture. I don't need just the word of God that somebody else is feeding me, but it's time for me to feed myself. My question for you is, as you roll into 2021, are you ready to put your weapon to work? Paul gives us two examples. It's found in chapter 3, 16 and 17. It says this, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and teaching and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Our first weapon that we put to work is scripture, is the word of God. And I want to ask you where you've left your weapon. Maybe you would say, as I leave this year, my commitment, my understanding, my rooting is that I want to get the word so embedded in my heart that it is not some scripture that I can just finish the rest of the pastor's scripture as he's saying it or she's saying it, but something that comes up inside of you that when you're dealing with something, when you're in the middle of your own storm, in the middle of your own night, that you can recall the word of God and say, God, your promises are true. I'm recounting to you back your word. Our scripture is a weapon, so put your weapon to work. The second weapon that we have is found in 2 Timothy 4:2, and it says this, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. The second weapon that we have to put to work is your voice. It's preaching the word of God. So often it's easy for us to say, but I don't want to push my views on anyone else. I'm going to hide myself and let that person do them, and they'll come to Jesus some way. Do you remember what it was like when somebody shared Jesus with you? Do you remember what it was like and what they did and the conversations they had and how they got you nice and warm and you were talking and they were exploring the need that you have? What if we said this morning that you were intended to be that for someone else? But what kind of enemy would we have if he convinced you and me that we should keep our mouths closed and not open up about all that God has done for us? I want to tell you this morning that your voice, your story, your message rooted in Christ is a weapon. And are you putting your weapon to work? This is the lesson we find in Paul. You know, this is a sort of situation where Paul is basically saying like this. If we had to say it in 2020 language, it would be like, you do the work. Paul is saying, you pick up the scripture. You pick up my word. You pick up your testimony. You do the work. It's such a beautiful lesson and a reminder for us that as we leave this season and into literally the next season, that this is a pack your own bags kind of situation. That this experience and this walk with Christ is exactly what you and I make it to be. Lesson number four that Paul gives us, and we find this, and it is so wonderful. Paul gives us this example. He is in his final breath now. It's his last and final moments, and he says this in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. It says, oh, this is so good. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. And I fought the good fight, and I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith, and now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Can you hear Paul saying, Timothy, make it count? His final lesson for us is make it count. Do the eternal work. Just this year, I sort of self-evaluated where I was trucking along, where I was spending my time, where I was spending my energy, where I was spending my emotions, my best creative thoughts, how I was showing up. And it was like God quickened me to say, Taisha, if this was just black and white, it was just this or just that, if there was just a category that said eternal and just a category that fulfilled your personal needs, maybe those warm, fuzzy places, the TV show you wanted to watch, or the dreams that you wanted to accomplish. If there was only two categories, where does your schedule fall? This was just my personal awareness, but the question is still the same, and I can hear Paul almost sharing it through the word, Timothy, make it count. In my last days, I'm telling you, there will be things that are eternal and that will make a difference and will last, and there will be things that will fall into everything else. And I have chosen, Timothy, to pour out my life like a drink offering. So make your breath, your days, your energy, your life, your focus, make it all count for what really will outlive you. It's such a great question, isn't it? It's such a great question for us. It's such a great admonishment for us. Better said like this, let us be about our Father's business. Paul gives us these four lessons. And I love that he uses this analogy of a drink offering. I love that Paul also says before he even goes and gives his life, he says, I have finished the work. I have finished the work. I'm not just spinning my wheels. I'm not doing this to be cute. I'm not doing this just for kicks and giggles. I have finished what I have been appointed to do. And that's a bold statement. But I love it. I love his tenacity. I love everything about it. I love that his time and his focus was not about himself. It was about what he was actually put on earth to do. As both a friend and a father figure, Paul knew exactly what Timothy needed to hear. This letter, this dear son letter, is a reflection that you and I can take and mirror ourselves, because these lessons that he gave to Timothy are totally applicable to us right here, right now. God has a way of speaking to humanity through these examples in his word. He has a way of both speaking to everyone and to speaking to you in the same breath at the same time. So my question to you this morning is, just like Timothy needed to hear these affirmations from his father-like figure, just like Timothy needed to hear the words that says, you can do this, Timothy, you can fly. I know that the spirit that is strong is in you. I know that it's true. I know that it's in you. Just like Timothy needed to hear that, my question for you this morning is, what do you need to hear? What do you need to hear from your God? As you end one season, as 2020 comes to a close, and as you start a new season, what do you need to hear? God wants us to leave this season whole, and before the year is done, for us, for you and I, to be as bold as Paul was when he was giving his life, that says, I have finished the good work. I am confident in what I've done in this season. I desire to end whole. And I don't know about you, I desire to end whole and healed into my next season and not limping through. I believe God is speaking now. For some of you, you've been asking the Lord, God, pastor's been speaking prophetically. We've been talking in service. You've been speaking and delivering messages. Speak to me. He's speaking to you now. What do you need to hear? The second thing I believe that we must ask ourselves in relationship to this particular scripture, it's in Paul's last days. So he said, I'm pouring myself out as a drink offering. Drink offering was a celebratory time. It was a time of actual wine or fermented drink that people would take, and it would be used for weddings and celebrations and festivities. And Paul said, I take that. This is not, nobody is taking this from me. This season hasn't been me limping through to the finish line. I have finished the good work. I am happy about it. This is a celebration, because in short order, I will see the goodness of God. I will see God's face. I will see God's goodness. This is a celebration. And not only that, but I willingly pour it out. Why did he say that I am like a drink offering? Paul said this because he was making room. Now, let me break this down for a minute. Paul said, I pour myself out as a drink offering. I get rid of the thing that I really do love, the thing of who I am and what I bring to the table, but I willingly pour it out. I empty myself so that I can be filled with new things. So here's the second question for you today as we are talking about these lessons of Paul. The first question is, what do you need to hear? The second question is, what do you need to pour out? For some of you, you've been clutching on to your identity and your goals and your dreams, and this is the way, and God, why? I'm still upset with you because you didn't answer my prayer, or God, I'm still wrestling with this. And God is saying, what are you going to pour out and get rid of so that I can give you what I have for you? Haven't you held on to the old thing long enough? And let me say it like this, an offering is not an offering unless we pour it out. Paul says, you don't steal anything from me. You're not taking anything from me. It's like Jesus said, no one takes my life. I willingly lay it down. It was an offering. And this morning I ask you, what do you need to pour out as an offering? You've held on to that bitterness long enough. You've held on to that memory long enough. You've held on to the hurt long enough. And going into this new season, it's time for God to put in you new things. Third question is this morning, and Paul was so gracious, and I literally looked at the final words that he spoke, the last words that are ever recorded. And it was like Paul said, you're going to need these things. You've honored God. You've emptied yourself, Timothy. But I have one more question. And the question is this: what do you need to get rooted in Christ? It was like Paul knew that there would be so many temptations to do this journey on your own. Paul knew even 2,000 years later that there would be temptation after temptation for you and I to do this thing called our Christian walk all alone. But he says this, "The Lord be with your spirit, and grace be with you." The analogy is that Paul is saying his final words, there are no more. May the Lord be with your spirit. May the Spirit of God be with your spirit. May they join together. May God come in his place as you have emptied yourself, as you have chosen to follow Christ. May God then come to the place that there is space and meet you where you are. May the Lord be with your spirit. There are some of you watching this morning that you are making these affirmations, that you are standing firm in your faith, that you are making space, you are getting rid and shedding some of the things because it's time. And as you make space, I feel like your prayer this morning is now, God, come meet me and fill this space in my heart. Jesus, come take over. The act of God's Spirit joining our spirit is a miraculous concept. The Bible says that not only as believers, but even before that, when we don't yet know Christ, that when we confess Jesus with our mouth and believe in our hearts that he is Lord, that he comes to save us. That in and of itself is a miraculous concept of the joining. And I put it like this because it's not only our salvation, but it's also as we walk through seasons of life. Maybe we know Christ, but we still have to make space and empty ourselves from old things, even as believers. I wrote this, whatever the disappointment, may the Lord be with your spirit. Whatever the distance, may the Lord be with your spirit. And whatever you need to hear this morning, may the Lord be with your spirit right where you are watching. Whatever you need God to be, as you've poured yourself out, as you have made space, I know that I know that I know that the Lord will do his part when we do our part. I'm praying for two types of people this morning. And you're watching, and maybe you would say, Pastor Ty, I have never made this declaration. And I am ready to make space once and for all for Jesus to come into my life. I have done it long enough. I am ready for the Lord to meet my spirit. The Bible says that it's just a simple prayer that declares that Jesus died, that he rose, and we acknowledge him as Christ. We're going to pray a prayer together in just a minute. But I believe there's a second group of person watching this morning. And I see you and I know that you're there. And you have believed in Jesus as your personal Savior. It's not an issue of salvation or making space, but in your emotional life, in your mental life, in your heart, and in your spirit, it's time to shed some old things and make space. For some of us, we have become comfortable with the discomforts of 2020. And it's time to let some stuff go, so that we can walk into our final 48 days, this final season, with space made so that God can meet our spirit. And I want to pray for you as well. If you've never accepted Jesus, if this is your very first time, or maybe you're far away from God and you're ready to reclaim your sonship or your daughtership right where you are with your mouth and your real lips and your real voice, you repeat this prayer after me. It's so simple. Say, Father God, I acknowledge the sacrifice you made for me on the cross. Thank you for dying for me. I believe that you rose, that you are seated in heaven, and I acknowledge you as King. I'm a son or a daughter, and I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for those of you who I was speaking to earlier, where it's just time to make space, you You're sitting there and you know that it's time for you to shed some old things so that you can make room for God. I want to pray for you also. Everybody, everywhere watching this broadcast, will you join your hands and pray with me? Say, Father God, I just thank you right now for everyone watching. I thank you, Lord, that your Spirit is making space in our lives. I pray, Lord, that we would be faithful to empty ourselves, to make space for what you are doing. I thank you, Lord, just like Paul, that you are showing us what it's like to present our bodies, to present our lives for something bigger than ourselves. God, I pray in these final 48 days that we would be the best version of ourselves and that we would embrace a new season in our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, City Place, it's a good time. It's a good thing when God does good things in us. And I want to know, you know I'm going to ask this question. I want to know what your biggest takeaway this morning. We are a self-feeding church and we give level 10. That means we interact and we lean in and we take notes and we do all those things. So I want to know this morning, what are you going to do about it? If God's ready to speak to us and to show off our final 48, I want to know this morning, I want to know what you're going to do about it. The notes have a couple of reflection questions for you that will help you get rooted in Christ. If you have given your life to Christ for the very first time, we want to know about it. We want to celebrate with you. We want you to join in the family of believers and come into a place that's safe and that's whole and get you planted in God's house. So if you've made that bold decision for the very first time, will you give us a text this morning? You can do it this one of two ways. You can either go to cityplacechurch.com and fill out a virtual connection card, or send us a text with your name and say, I decided, to 407-393-8426. We want to know about that big, bold decision, and we're going to send you resources and cheer with you and celebrate with you. One final thing that we do as a community, as a family, is we honor God with our finances. I'm so excited about this point in our service. I love to give. I literally love to give. I love it. I love to see what God is doing, not only in Orlando, not only in City Place Church, but literally to the ends of the earth. So many of you don't know the testimonies, but your faithful giving, your faithful tithe, and your faithful offering is what allows the message of Jesus Christ to literally spread all over the earth. So this morning I'm going to pray you prepare your seed, your tithe, or your offering, and we are going to prepare to honor God with our giving. You can do that via text or online at cityplacechurch.com/give. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for the spirit of generosity in this house. I thank you for every single person who is so faithful with their resources. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless that, that you would multiply it, and that you would create in us exceeding and abundant fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew, City Place, I tell you what, when God is speaking and he's on the move, we are keen to lean in. So I'm so excited that you've done just that this morning. I can't wait to journey with you and see you next week. Have a great week.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed the podcast, don't forget to subscribe. And you can share with your friends. Take a screenshot, post on your social media stories, and tag us at City Place Church.